From the studios of EWTN, this is... From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. With today's host, Father Larry Richards. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
A tremendous Thursday to you. Welcome to EWTN's Open Line. We talk the new evangelization on Thursdays, and I'm sure you may be asking yourself, how am I going to evangelize when I'm self whatever I'm doing? Whenever I'm social distancing or self-isolating or whatever I'm doing. Did you have those balloons disinfected before they were brought into the office?
I hope so. I didn't do them. They brought them in themselves without me being here.
Well, you're a trusting soul.
I know.
833-288-3986 is our toll-free number. If you'd like to talk to Father Larry, that's 833-288-EWTN. If you're outside the United States and Canada, we'd still love to hear from you. Your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can always send us an email, openline@ewtn.com, or you can text your question to Father Larry. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question. Message and data rates may apply. I'm Jack Williams. Father Larry Richards is our host, as he is every single Thursday. See, I'm trying to make our producer, Charles Beery, not feel so bad for double dribbling the open. Charles is spinning the dials behind the glass, keeping us on the air. Ryan Penny is your phone screener today. Can you tell that I'm busy in my... I have not switched from normal rest of my day mode into radio show mode yet. Jeff Burson's handling our social media endeavors, so if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook Live, utilize that chat feature to ask a question of Father Larry. How in the world are you?
Very blessed.
You look well?
I feel well.
Yeah, so do I. It's a beautiful day here in Birmingham, yesterday and today.
It's
gorgeous.
Today here, too, it's 60 up here in Erie, which is pretty good for March.
It's supposed to be opening day for Major League Baseball today. What a day it would have been in most places.
But
they're saying now instead of opening day, they're calling it Nopening Day.
Absolutely.
But we're not here to talk baseball. We're here to talk
evangelization. Jesus. Yes, we are.
You're going to teach everybody how to talk to everyone. So we have we have an email here from Brenda, and she says, I have a group chat with friends. One is Protestant, another nothing. Another practices New Age techniques, and two are cafeteria Catholics. They all try to expose their quote-unquote religious points of view. One says that a prayer is not only to kneel, put your hands together, and ask for things. She wrote that it is also to think positive, wishing good to others, to cook for your family, to tell someone, for example, drive safe or be safe, to give time to others, forgive with the heart. She wrote that it is also a vibration or a feeling, a thought, a friendship, relationship, or being silent. How can I respond to them and evangelize I should have read this before I read it to you. We live in a different country, so our relationship is only by group chat. So I think that some of the things her friends said are actually right on target.
Exactly. And again, I think that's where we always need to begin is, again, think about how St. Paul did it when he was in Greece and he was in Athens and he saw all these temples to all these different gods. He didn't come in and start screaming and tearing down the temples. Now, we've had saints that do that, but that ain't the way Paul did it. He sees one of these altars to an unknown god, and he says, I see you Greeks are very religious. Good. Now, I saw one of these things that said to an unknown unknown God. Good. I want to tell you who this unknown God is. And then he proclaims Jesus Christ. Huh? And so what happens is we build on what other people say. We don't tear it down. Because when we tear it down, they feel like we're also tearing them down. Because this is what they believe. This is who they are. This is what they've been taught. People who love them have taught them that. And who they love, their parents and different things. And if we just come and say, well, that's all garbage. Then you're saying they're garbage, their parents are garbage, their people that they know that are very good people are garbage. So that usually isn't a great way to evangelize and build on. So, but if you sit there and say, that is so, you are so blessed that what has happened and what you believe, but I want to show you how much more there is. And then you build up. So that woman that says there, you know, this is prayer, cooking dinner for your friends. Absolutely. Good job. But don't you know it's also being in this relationship with this God of love who loves you, and the only one that can ever touch the inside of your heart is him. And boy, he loves you more than anything. And so to be with him every day is not just a prayer. It's the thing that gives you the ability to go and love other people more. And so you build on what people already believe in their life, and you go and take them to Jesus. That's the best way to do it.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Laura writes in, hi, as we are all beloved children of God, and let's say we or several of us are praying for the same job, this is a good question. Why is one chosen to get the job over the other? Understanding we all have different paths, and I don't believe God plays favorites. However, it's difficult to understand when several of us may be struggling for the same job opportunity and only one is chosen. How does God decide, Father Larry?
Well, if I knew the mind of God, I'd be making pretty good. You know, but to know the mind of God, God created everybody differently. And so some people might think this would be the greatest job for them when God says, oh, no, no, I have a much better job for you. And so sometimes what the problem is, like I always like to go back to Billy Graham's wife, Billy Graham, his wife was Ruth Graham. And she says, I'm so glad that God says no to prayer. Because if he wouldn't say no to prayer, I'd have married the wrong person three different times. That she kept saying when she was dating one guy, God, this is the guy I want. This is the guy I want to be with. And God says, no. And then she, next one, okay, God, this is the one. God says, no. And then God says, no again. And then finally he gives her Billy, you know, and then God said, yes. God knows your future. Sometimes you think, well, this is the greatest job for me. It might not be the greatest job for you. It might be something drives you insane. And so when you surrender to God and you say, like yesterday when we celebrated the Feast of the Annunciation, and we say, let it be done to me, then the only thing I want is to do God's will. And so if it's God's will to get this job, well, then I'll get the job. If it's not God's will, then I won't. And then I'll find another job. You know, that's the point. Too often, you know, again, when we say the Lord's Prayer, it's thy will be done. It's not, hey, God, this is the job I want. Please give it for me. And if you don't get me this job, I'm going to be very mad. And I know they want the job too, but give it to me because, you know, I really need it more than they do. That ain't the way we pray. God, you love me more than I love myself. You can see tomorrow. You know that the greatest thing in my life is that you get me to heaven. So if this job is going to be the one that helps get me to heaven, then let me have this job. And then I put it in your will. And then you trust him.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. Hello, Father, writes Chris. I am hoping you can answer this on the air. I have two sisters who were born and raised Catholic, however, married divorced men. I suspect if the marriages are valid and not annulled that my sisters are living in mortal sin and not receiving the graces of God. They have two children each not baptized in the church, so I suspect there are further complications there. Any guidance would be gratefully appreciated.
Again, what we do is we hit them with the love of God, not the judgment of God. So that, like often when I'm dealing with people that have bad marriages and that I want to fix, and I say, listen, gosh, let's try to get this all fixed, can we? And when I come with them with that thing, then they're like, okay, Father, I don't know, it's going to be pretty complicated. And I get it done for them in 4 to 6 months, and they're going, you know, Father, it was the greatest thing ever, that we can fix things. You know, but if you go in and say to somebody, you know, you're living in mortal sin and you're not getting the graces of God, that's not the good news. You know, it might be completely true. Absolutely true. We're not saying it's not true, but the person isn't going to respond to that as well as if, you know, we can fix this. God, Jesus Christ came on the cross to set you free, and he wants you to be with him forever. So let's see if we can help this. So I'd encourage him to get a priest and have someone you already talked to ahead of time and say, listen, we can get this fixed. Boom, 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 boom. And give them the remedy for their sickness.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. A couple of open phone lines for you at 833-288-3986. Straight ahead, we'll talk to John in Detroit, Michigan, Sean in Radford, Virginia, Paul in Worcester, Mass., and hopefully we'll talk to you as well. The number again is 833-288-EWTN. EWTN's open line Thursday. We're talking the new evangelization with Father Larry Richards.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
You know, tomorrow is the fourth anniversary of the passing of Mother Angelica. It's hard to imagine that it's been that long. But we've got some special programming for you on EWTN television tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, a rosary on the anniversary of Mother Angelica's passing from the chapel here at EWTN. At 2 p.m. Eastern, Mother Angelica, Her Life and Legacy, the half-hour TV special will re-air on EWTN. 4 p.m. Eastern, Stations of the Cross, and this is done with the Stations of the Cross that Mother Angelica herself wrote under the inspiration, of course, of our Lord, and they're quite spectacular. I would really encourage you to check that out if you can. And 9:30 Eastern, the Rosary on the anniversary of Mother Angelica's passing from the chapel here again in Irondale. All of Mother's books and CDs, the timeless material, available at EWTNRC.com. EWTNRC.com. And for more about Mother Angelica, visit EWTN.com/MotherAngelica. We've still got a couple of open phone lines for you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. First up today is John in Detroit, Michigan, listening to EWTN on Ave Maria Radio. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, John.
Oh, welcome, Father. In the Bible, it says, these people will not be saved, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the murderers, but it also says, the fearful. I don't understand what it means by the fearful.
Well, I don't know what passage you're referring to, but when it talks about, you know, like I just talked about, like yesterday, Mary, it says she was afraid with the Annunciation when the angel appeared to her. And the first thing the angel says to her is, be not afraid. And then Joseph, you know, last week when we celebrated his feast day, you know, an angel says, do not be afraid. And I said, it gives me such comfort that both Mary and Joseph were afraid, and they did not, and they had to be told not to be afraid. So fear in itself would not be sinful. It would be not sinful, but it would be if fear controls your life. And that's in so many ways. It's a lack of trust of God. And so if fear is, that's all that is, you know, fear. I do everything out of fear. I'm afraid of going to hell. I'm afraid of getting sick. I'm afraid of doing all this. Well, it's then fear becomes a selfish reality. So it'd be interesting to see how other translations would translate that particular verse, you know, because I have never heard it as those who are fearful. I have not, and that's why it'd be interesting. Do you know what verse that is?
You know, something, Father, you just jogged my memory. I'm not talking about a Bible verse. I'm actually talking about an examination of confession. That's what.
Yeah.
You just jogged my memory. And okay. It talks about, I'm going to have to go look it up now.
Yeah. And again, just because someone, like I have an examination of conscience, and just because I put out an examination of conscience doesn't mean it's completely 100% church teaching. And so often people say, well, this one did this or this one did that. Unless it's something official from the church, then I wouldn't worry about it. But I'm saying that if a person was just to let fear operate their life, it could be a selfishness, and they do everything just for themselves. And that's why, that's the way I would interpret that. But again, no, all the, like Mary and Joseph were afraid sometimes, and so, and fear of the Lord is a gift of the Holy Spirit, so it depends what type of fear you're talking about.
Thanks so much. We appreciate that phone call, John. 833-288-EWTN. Still one open line at 833-288-3986. Next up is Sean in Radford, Virginia, listening on the EWTN app. Sean, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I'm blessed. What's up?
I'm doing well. I was just curious. This past Sunday, we actually watched the Mass online that was taking place up at Sacred Heart Cathedral. And it was really heartbreaking for the family to, you know, actually be at home for that.
Sure.
And everything, because all the Masses have been, you know, shut down by the bishop. Mm-hmm. However,
same here.
In the area, there is, say again?
It's same here. Every bishop in the United States under the Roman Rite have closed all the, have made all Masses private.
Okay. And so that actually falls into my question. There's mm-hmm. actually a Maronite Rite in the area that's still performing Masses. Would that be mm-hmm. wrong or sinful for us to attend those?
No, because they're under their own bishop, and so their own bishop makes that determination. You know, so it would never be wrong or sinful to go to a Mass. And you can go to a Maronite rite. They're completely under Rome, you know. So you just got to watch how, and I'm sure they're doing it in the right way. You know, Maronites are good, strong people. They're one of my favorite people in all the churches, the Maronite people. And so, and the men are good and strong. And so I just think that, and they're very, very, it'd be great if you could go there and they're going to be able to receive Jesus there. That'd be a great thing. Would not be sinful. Again, how long they're going to end up beyond doing this, because again, more and more is saying that you can't have more than 10 people together. And, you know, but of course you could go. Of course.
Thanks, Sean. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. Plenty of time for your phone calls. Next up is Abby in Connersville, Indiana, a first-time caller watching us on Facebook Live. Abby, welcome to the program.
Hello, Abby.
Hi, Father.
What's up?
My question is, what is more important when it comes to evangelizing? Is it by speaking about the scriptures, or how you treat people?
Yes.
Again, it. Yes, exactly. It's not either or; it's both and. Because if I talk about the scriptures all the time, but I'm a miserable, judgmental, mean person, then no matter how much I talk about the scriptures, people won't hear it, because God is love. And if I'm not showing love, then they're not going to hear the fullness of the scripture. If at the same time I'm just very loving, but I'm just not living scripture, so I'm loving, but I'm loving about, you know, I love people that I don't want to hurt them, and I don't want them to be mad at me, so I never say anything that's going to challenge them to grow. And so, like, they're living in sin or doing something else, and I never say anything, and they end up dying, going to hell. Well, that would also be wrong. You know, it's, again, how you do it and how you love people. It's both. But again, no, so that's a question that you have to do all these things. It's never either or. So you got to do both there. Does that help?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Abby. We appreciate that phone call. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. Next up is Patty in Rockledge, Pennsylvania, a first-time caller listening on the EWTN app. Patty, you are on with Father Larry Richards.
Hello, Patty.
Hello, Father. How are you today?
Very blessed. How are you?
I'm doing well. I don't have a biblical question.
Okay.
I just get done reading your surrender book.
Uh-huh.
And
was it any good?
It was terrific. I liked the prayers at the at the end.
Good.
And everything. And every time I catch you on that Ray Guy show, he's always
that Dr.
got
Ray
some Grindy. Kind of a book.
Yes.
Yeah. When are you going to have another book?
I'm working on it right now. The deal is to get it done by May 31st. It's on the Lord's Prayer. And now that I'm sitting at home after tomorrow, I'm hopefully to start on this last, okay, get this done. But it's called Just Live It, Living the Ten Principles of the World's Most Famous Prayer. And so I take the Lord's Prayer and I break it down to principles, 10 of them. You know, and so what does it mean? Because we say this prayer so fast and most people haven't a clue what you're saying. And so I break it. What's it mean when you say our? You know, that means that everyone's my brother and sister, and I must love everyone without condition. And I think, what? Really? I have to love everybody without condition? Yep. You got to love them, and you got to challenge them to be where they need to be. But yes, that's what it means. And it's like, and what's the word father? Mother Teresa Avila couldn't get past the word father without going into ecstasy for 2 hours. And we just, our father, our in heaven, da, da, da. And, but she would go into ecstasy just by calling God father. Well, what does that mean that God is my father? What's the principle that I have to act as a beloved son or daughter of God? I have to live this way. And so I just really delve into what this means so it becomes something that when I say this prayer, it's not enough. I need to live this prayer. And so hopefully you pray that I get this done. I've been working on it for 10 years.
You're going to get it done, and you need
to get
a Bible study going, too. Just
yes.
Like Mitch and Kirby and...
Oh, we have them out there, but we're just not as popular as those other ones. That's okay.
You'd be surprised how popular you are.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for calling us there, Patty.
Appreciate the phone call, Patty. Thanks very much. How does it feel to have written more books than you've read?
I read 28 books last year. Thank you very much.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Next up is Lynn in Gilchrist, Colorado. First-time caller listening on the EWTN app. Lynn, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Lynn.
Well, good morning. Hello. How are you, Father?
I'm very blessed. What's up?
Good. I wanted to know how we as lay people can help you, all you wonderful priests, through all this. We know we're still separated from you. So
absolutely.
How can we support you? What's the best way we can
first,
do that?
The first way is to pray for us. And okay, of course I do that, Father. But the second, I think, is like I've been getting a lot of letters on just supporting. Because a lot right now, like we're taking the hit. Like, you know, the priests are leaving us when we need it the most. And boy, I think I've prayed more for my people now than I ever, and for everybody, you know, and I've been fasting just for everybody who can't get to Mass and doing all these things and making sure it happens. So when all as we do, and some of the people just love to throw us under the bus and saying, you're leaving us when we need you the most. Nope. Still hearing confessions. Nope. Still anointing people. Nope. Doing all those things. But we're trying to help people because like in Rome right now, they've lost 60 priests. 60 priests. Now, if we were to lose 60, not in Rome, but in Italy, if we were to lose 60 priests in America, not only would you not get communion now, you wouldn't get communion for the next however many years because there's not 60 priests to fill these people. So my big thing is to pray for them, but to actually write them little notes and saying, Father, I'm praying for you. Father, I care about you. And those are the things that get me through the day is when I hear that kind of stuff instead of like, I'm doing my best here, people. And people are just like saying, you know, every day someone goes on my thing where I have Mass every day and purposely just dislikes it every single day. And then I'll sit there and say, I can't believe they let homosexuals on TV now. Not like, really? Really? Is that what we're about? We're trying. So, again, I think just to show support will be one of those greatest things you can do.
833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I'm going to go like your Mass right now, Father Larry. You can send us an email.
No, you're the one that's doing the dislike every day. I know, Jack.
No. I would never do that. It's Open Line Thursday with Father Larry.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Plays, it throws me off and I can't sing Happy Birthday to you.
Oh, there you go.
Because the tune is out of my
head. You can't sing anyway.
Happy, happy birthday from all of us to you. We wish it was our birthday so we could party too. Hey, happy birthday, Father.
Thanks. I'm 60.
You don't
Can
look
you
a
imagine?
Day over 59 and a half.
No, I can't imagine. It still freaks me out that I'm 60. Wow.
Yeah.
I used to be like old people.
You'd have taken better care of yourself, you know, you've been around this long, right?
Yeah, if I only could look like Jack, that's all I could hope and pray. That's
all. Happy birthday, brother. I love
you. Well, thank you. Thank you.
All right. Next up is Daniel in Bismarck, North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio, a first-time caller. Daniel, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Daniel.
Hi, Father Larry.
How are you in Bismarck? Has it stopped snowing up there yet?
It has.
Good job.
Yeah. It's really nice out. A little
there
foggy this morning, but cleared up.
What's up?
My question for you today was, how do we live with the joy of Christ? What does that mean?
Mm. Well, first of all, to live a life of joy, you know, like Mother Teresa used to have a little thing, joy, J, Jesus first, O, others second, Y, yourself last. And so that you give away your life. And it really does. I can't tell you. You know, I have another way. I tell everybody to put in their mirrors, I am third. God is first, others are second, I am last. That when we live a life that's focused on ourself or only our salvation or only what I'm going to get, it's never happy. And you can tell there's no peace in someone's heart. But when you live a life that's taking care of others, it's putting others in front of you, joy comes with that. It's a byproduct. And so Christ, if you ever look at the crucifix, there's nothing on the crucifix. It was about Jesus. It was always about the Father and always about others, us. And that brought him joy. And so again, in John's Gospel in chapter 15, it says, all this I have told you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. So first of all, that means that we live this life of love. We surrender. We are a servant. Da, da, da. The second thing is that we have to look at everything with hope. Like even in the midst of all the stuff we're going through right now, there's some people that just like, oh, it's all bad. And boy, it's sad. But even the people that die, they get to see Jesus, hopefully, and to see the glory of God. So that even in the midst of all the suffering, there can still be joy that God, where we put a period, God puts a comma, that there's always hope. And so we can be joyful people when we see that Christ is God and no matter what, things are going to be okay. Now, it doesn't mean we don't go through, I mean, Jesus, when he was going to the cross, he wasn't very joyful. You know, he was saying, God, let this cup pass me by, let this cup pass me by. So there, just because they have the joy of the Lord doesn't mean we don't have days of fear and sadness and all that stuff. But it means that in spite of it all, in spite of the crucifix, that Christ will bring life, that there's the ultimate life, that God is God and all will be well. So those are the two things. We live a life of service and we live this life of hope because we know God. And so like there's a big thing coming out this week, a virtual Catholic men's conference. And you can look it up in that. And so I had to do a 20-minute talk. And the whole talk for me with the men was that, gentlemen, more than everything, now some of you aren't going to get it. I told them, because this is Father Larry talking, but you got to come to know how much you're loved by God. You must. And I went and I took them through the whole thing about how to pray. And the whole time was, I know, gentlemen, for some of you, it's like, I can't take this. I can't take this intimacy. You must have intimacy with God. You cannot be a leader in this time unless you know Jesus Christ, unless you know the love of God. And so I said, this is what you must do to get to know God's love. You must take 5 minutes a day. You must repent of your sins, say, I'm sorry. You must surrender your life to him. And then you got to become a little boy or a little girl, because he said, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven unless you change and become as a child. And then you ask the God of the universe to hold you every day. And you become little, and you spend time in his arms. And when you come to know deeply, intimately, that you are loved by God, you will be stronger and more joyful than anybody else. But a lot of people don't ever get there. They can't get there, and they won't get there because they won't spend the time in every day being still in the presence of God. So I just think it's something we must do, especially now. You got to get to know the love of God and the mercy of God so that you can be the person of joy God calls you to be.
How's that, Daniel?
That's a really good answer. I like that. If I were to try to say it in my own words, I really like the idea of joy is Jesus first, others, and then yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But from my perspective, from my own life, I think that prioritizing my life correctly and having Jesus as the center of my life would definitely help me have joy in my life.
So your prayer must be, can't just be like, oh, I'm doing everything for Jesus. You must have the intimacy with Jesus every day. This is the time for intimacy. And I just think, since everybody can't be working half the time and we're all in our houses, this is the time that God is calling you to come to him and to just be intimate with him so that when this all is lifted, you can be this man of great strength and you can then bring others into the intimacy with God. I just think this is God's way of bringing us into intimacy with him if we will listen and respond.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Plenty of time for your phone calls at 833-288-3986. Next up is Mike in Charleston, West Virginia, listening to EWTN on St. Paul Radio, a first-time caller. Mike, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, Father Larry.
What's up?
Good to speak with you.
Hey, nice
Father,
talking to you.
I just want to thank you. Yeah, I just want to thank you because your ministry pretty much changed my life. I mean, it supercharged my spiritual life. I listened to Becoming a Man series, the audio series and the book, 4 or 5 years ago. And, what you just said to the previous caller about, you know, making that holy hour every day and finding that intimate relationship with the Father, you know, and putting your head on his chest every day as you pray and feeling that and knowing that he loves you. And, you know, you really your voice speaks to me. My wife, too. My wife loves you. We listen to all your stuff.
Oh, you got out of purgatory early.
Fatika.
Justin, yes.
I've met Dr. Ray and Justin, but I've never met them. I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you. God is good. Keep praying for me. I stay faithful. Please. Thank you, Michael.
833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're heading out of Polson, Montana. Mark is in Polson listening on Divine Mercy Radio. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mark.
Thank you very much.
What's
thank
up?
Thank you very much. And happy birthday, Father. It's my birthday
well.
Well,
thank you. It's your birthday as well?
Yes, sir, it is.
How old are you?
I'm 55.
Well, you're catching up real fast there, Mark. There you go. What's up?
Well, my question is, I'm cradle Catholic, New York. Family walked away from the church. I had an evangelical experience when I was 20. I've been an evangelical, faithful evangelical for, 35 years now. But I really want to come back to Mass. I want to receive the Eucharist. And I just want to know what I have to do to come back into the Catholic fold.
Come to confession. That's about it. You can come in. If you were raised Catholic, you got all the sacraments. All you have to do is come to the confession and start going back to Mass, and you can receive all the sacraments. No worries. You know, if you want, you can go through an RCIA program, but you don't have to because you've already been catechized. But if you just go to confession, like if you were here in my parish, I'd say, come on, let's go to confession. You're home. It's about as simple as it is. As long are you married and everything okay? Is your marriage blessed or all that kind of stuff?
Oh, the marriage is fine. Wife is actually Mennonite, so not sure she'd be coming. But
and that's fine. She doesn't have to. Absolutely not. But you can. All you have to do is get to confession. Now, if you were married outside the church as a Catholic, you might have to get that marriage blessed. You know, but that would be an easy enough thing to do.
Okay. That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Welcome home.
Appreciate the phone call, Mark. We'll keep you in our prayers for sure. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Grab that open phone line. Next up is Brenda in Columbus, Ohio, a first-time caller, listening on the EWTN app. Brenda, what is up?
Hello, Brenda.
Hi. I'm very happy to speak with you, Father.
Well, thank you. It's good to talk to you, Brenda. What is up?
So I've been struggling with the sin of sloth,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to get some feedback and suggestions on how I can change this, because it's something that I feel like it's affecting a lot of areas of my life, and it's preventing me doing the things I want.
It's one of the seven deadly ones. You know, it's one of the sins that keeps us focused on ourselves. And again, Jesus Christ came to set you free from all your sin. And so I don't want you to label yourself or say, well, this is my sin. It's not your sin. Christ paid for your sins, and he wants to set you free from that. So the best way to go against sloth is to start doing everything you do for the love of Jesus or the love of the Father. You know, Jesus said, the world must know that I love the Father and I do everything to please him. So then instead of being, you know, lazy, another word for sloth, or not being, you know, real concerned about your spiritual life, you're slowly saying, God, I want to do everything I do. Pick up a piece of paper off the floor, watch TV, whatever I do, I want to do for love of you. And then if everything you do becomes an act of love to God, then that can kill sloth, because now your whole life is to bring God glory, and you want to bring God glory in everything you do. You think, does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Very good. God bless you. Thank you for calling us.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. It's a free phone call anywhere in North America. That's 833-288-3986. Unfettered access.
Unfettered.
To a priest, an ordained priest from the very holy diocese of Erie, Pennsylvania, Father Larry Richards.
And here I happen to be. That's the only way.
Next up is Sheila in Cincinnati, Ohio, another first-time caller listening on our great affiliate there, Sacred Heart Radio. Sheila, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Sheila.
Say, Father.
Well, thank you, Sheila.
You're welcome. I'm a first-time Catholic. I'm a new Catholic.
Okay, welcome.
And I had a question. I wanted to know, if you're sick and disabled like me, I have a pacemaker and I have a trait in my neck, and I've been unable to go to the masses a lot, but they come to me, and I received Jesus in Holy Communion, but because of this virus, I'm unable to do that. If you were to die without receiving Jesus in Holy Communion and have your confession, if it's like a vernal sin, and if you were to die and wear my scapulars, would you go to purgatory or would you go to hell not receiving Jesus and not doing the confession? Until we able to receive Jesus in Holy Communion, me as disabled.
I get it. Rome sat there, and I mean, the Holy Father and the Catechism and Father, even Cardinal Burke, all agree that the Catechism says if you have sorrow for your sin, and it's perfect contrition, meaning that you're sorry for your sin because you love God and because you know that you hurt God when you sin. Imperfect contrition is you're sorry because you could go to hell. And now that the Catechism says clearly that that does not take care of mortal sin, but it does say that if you're sorry for perfect contrition, that venial sins and mortal sins are forgiven with the intention you will get to confession as soon as possible. So if you're sitting there, like a lot of places don't have confessions now at all. And so if you're sitting at home and you say, God, I am so sorry for my sins, and you mean it, and I don't ever want to offend you again, and I repent of this sin, because part of the thing to be forgiven is you have to have true repentance of sin, which means I'm not going to do this anymore, God, by your grace. And so if you do that, then if you were to die before you get to confession, like you get the virus or something, then God takes care of you. That's the point, and that's what the catechism says, and they've all talked about it, and they've put that out. Now, venial sins are forgiven every time you go to Mass anyway at the beginning of Mass. Same thing, it says it in the catechism. And so, again, this is the teaching of the church. It isn't some liberal idea that, look it up. I wish I had the verse with me right now, because I if you go back to my Mass a couple days ago online, it says, I quote it exactly. I read it exactly, so people don't think I'm making things up. It's there, and it's real. So, you can do that. And so if you can't receive communion too, you can make a spiritual act of communion. So you just say, Jesus, I believe in you, and I want to be united with you now. Come into my heart. And Jesus, unite yourself with me, and I unite myself with you, and he will come in. You know, and so that's the reality. Like someone wrote to me last week on my stuff and says, well, you're talking about these spiritual communions, but don't we know that we have to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus? Yes, you do. But even Benedict, Pope Benedict talked about there's a time for even fasting from communion. And that's what we're doing now. And it's bringing a Lent upon us. But God is going to bring everything. So just trust him and keep making those spiritual communions. And God is going to take care of you. So as long as you're sorry, as long as you repent with the intention you'll get to confession, a sacramental confession, as soon as possible, those sins can be forgiven. Does that help you, Sheila?
How do you make spiritual communion here? What do I supposed to say?
Just like I just said, you just say, Jesus, I believe that you're present in the Blessed Sacrament, and I want you to come into my heart. And then you just close your eyes, like every day I tell people, and I want you to close your eyes now and say, Jesus, hold me. And you feel Jesus put his arms around you, and you put your head on his chest, and you listen to his heartbeat. Every time his heart beats, he says, I love you, I love you. That's what John the Evangelist did at the Last Supper. And that's what you can do, no matter where you are. Just say, Jesus, hold me. Put your head on his chest and listen to his heartbeat. And every time it beats, he says, I love you. God loves you. He's not out to get you. He's there to get you forever with him in heaven. That's what he wants. And as long as you want the same thing and you're seeking to do his will, you're going to make it, Sheila.
You know, you never have to miss one of your EWTN programs if you're unable to listen when we're live. You can check out the podcast. We post over 11 podcasts every weekday and over 60 during the course of every single week, and every one of them is absolutely free. Just go to EWTN.com/radio/podcasts to listen and subscribe today. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. Next up is Tina in Denver, Colorado, listening on the Catholic Radio Network. Hi, Tina. You're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Tina. Hi.
Hi. What's there. Up? So I was a Protestant until 2018.
Welcome.
And I had read the entire Bible and studied it and was a Bible study leader. And now I'm so excited about these new books I get to read in the Catholic Bible. And but I'm so confused as I read Sirach.
Yep.
And it's
I love
Sirach. Me too. I have teenagers, so I'm excited about chapter 6, which I'm going to
read. Oh, chapter 2 is very good for men too. Make them read. If you have boys, make them read chapter 2. My son, when you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for trials. True, true, true. Anyway,
okay.
Go ahead.
I do have a son. Oh, yes.
There you go.
So I'm wondering why, I can't figure out why Protestants would want to take that book out.
Okay.
Other ones,
well, again, it goes all the way back, you know, and again, I'm going to give you an oversimplified version, okay? You can go and do much more study on this, why the canon is different. But if we go back, we Catholics follow the Septuagint, which is the same Old Testament or scripture canon of the Jesus knew and Jesus followed. Now, in about 70-72 AD, I always forget if it's 70 or 72, when the temple was destroyed, there was two types of people primarily that ran the Sanhedrin, and those was the ruling body of the Jewish people. There was the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and we just talked about this like last week or the week before. The difference, of course, is a Pharisee believed in life after death and angels and principalities. The Sadducees did not believe in life after death. That's why they're so sad, you see. Anyway, so there was more Sadducees than there was Pharisees after the destruction of the temple. Why? Because a lot of the Pharisees became Christian. St. Paul was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Anyway, so when the temple was destroyed and they refocused and said, okay, we got to focus on what is important to us and our canon of scripture, they didn't throw out, but, you know, they said these ones are inspired, but these seven, and almost every one of those seven, like Sirach and Maccabees, they all have to do with life after death. So, because that didn't fit into their theology, then they said, okay, this isn't inspired. It's like later on, Martin Luther didn't like the book of James, or because it didn't fit into his theology. And he said, oh, we don't think we need that one. Well, no, so the church kept it. But that's why we follow the same books that Jesus followed, to be very simple about it. But then later, like today, if you look at the Jewish scripture, they do not have those seven books in it. They would be apocrypha, you know, and so that's why a lot of the Protestants follow what the Jews have in that, but we follow, again, from the very beginning, the Septuagint. Does that help?
Okay. Yeah, a lot.
There you go.
Very good. Thanks, Tina. We appreciate that call. Next up is Larry in Alliance, Ohio, another first-time caller listening on Living Bread Radio. Larry, you are obviously a brilliant caller. Welcome to the program.
Brilliant. Larry, what's up?
Hello, Father Larry. Happy birthday to you.
Why, thank you. You know, there's not many Larrys in the world. I don't know. Everybody has to start naming their kids Lawrence, is all I keep saying. But anyway, go ahead. What's up?
Well, my question is, in the diocese here, a lot of in the state of Ohio, masses and things are private
canceled.
Masses and things like that.
Yep.
And... canceled. I hate to use that word canceled.
Now, and that's not true.
So.
Yeah, I get it. After I said it, I thought that was not the word to use. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So I have read where some parishes in our diocese is having drive-through confession. And I even heard someone had drive-through Eucharist. And I know how I feel about it. I was just curious on your opinion of it.
Well, drive-through confessions have been popular in that, but again, like if you watch how they do it, the priest is sitting there and the window's like 6 foot away, so it'd be kind of like you have to scream your confession. I don't know if I'd like that at all. What we're doing here beginning this weekend, I just came off a self-imposed, I had to be quarantined because I was in Miami for a week and Philadelphia for a week and Montreal in a week and Charlotte for a week. And I dealt with about 10,000 people in 3 weeks. And I was petrified if I had it that I would give it to one of my parishioners. So I didn't hear confessions last week, but we're bringing them back this week. And I'm moving it like Rome says, it'd probably be smart to move them out of the confessional because in the confessional, it's too confined. And so what I'm going to be doing is putting them in my sacristy and putting a screen in that up. And people are going to have to stay 6 feet apart in the church, and they'll be able to go up that way. But a lot of places, excuse me, even though they don't have communion given, because communion should really be in the Mass, and so if you can't do it in the Mass, you just don't hand out, even though there are dioceses that are doing that, one diocese I know of. But normally, because you're still, like again, every time a person, like whether I give communion on the tongue or whether I give it in the hand, if I give on the tongue, a lot of times you still get some spit on the because a lot of people don't put their tongue out far enough, and as much as you tell them you do it, and you still can get some spit on there, so you go from person to person. But at the same time, when you receive in a hand, like I was telling my people, I'd give them a hand, and they'd start to close before I close my hand, and so they're getting germs on my fingers anyway, so when I put it to the next one. So it's very, very hard. You know, we don't even think about this unless you're a priest, and you're thinking about exactly how you might do it fine, but the person next to you mightn't do it fine. And so you're really becoming an instrument of bringing germs from one person to another. Now, again, some people say, well, this is Almighty God. Don't you think? Yes, of course God is bigger than this, but God also gave us common sense. You know, again, in Italy, there are 60 priests dead, and they weren't all old. There was a 54-year-old, too, and they were ministering. And not only will they not have Eucharist now, but they'll not have Eucharist for years to come now because these priests were dead, you know, because there ain't that many to replace them. And so you got to sit there and know. So it's just kind of like, you know, some people are saying, well, I'm just okay. But if you drop dead today, there's no one to take your place, Father. And then there's going to be thousands and thousands of people you can't give communion to later. because you died now. So you got to watch how we're doing this. So to be obedient to our bishops, obedience is greater than sacrifice. And I just think it's very important. So again, I think confession, of course, we can do that because people need it. But again, as I already told you, the paragraph that you can, even if you have the intention, if you really make a pure act of contrition, you can be forgiven now with the intention of getting confession as soon as possible. And given that communion outside of Mass really shouldn't be happening normally.
Very quickly, we'll head to Kay in Dublin, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Kay, about a minute left with Father Larry.
Hi, Kay. What's up?
Hi, Father Larry. 2 years ago at St. Brendan's after the mission, you and I said your grandma's ditty together. Can
we
do it again?
Sure, it says, every time I pass a church, I stop and make a visit.
I stop in for a visit.
So when the time comes when I'm wheeled in, he won't say, who is it?
God won't say, who is it?
Exactly. Good job.
God bless you, Kay. We appreciate that phone call. Well, we're flat out of time today. My apologies to Donna and to Mary Ann, but call in next week and we'll get you on the air with Father Larry. Would you leave us with a blessing?
Father God of love and mercy, we ask your blessing upon everyone who's listening to us now. Keep them safe. Preserve them from all sickness. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. On behalf of our host, Father Larry Richards, our producer, Charles Beery, our call screener, Ryan Penny, and our social media maven, Mr. Jeff Burson, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line Thursday. Tomorrow we shift gears, talk theology with our very own Vice President of Theology, Mr. Colin Donovan. Stay safe out there. Socially distance. Isolate if you need to.
Yes.
But do not become spiritually isolated. We are the body of Christ. God bless.